Question number one. I'm struggling answering one question that comes up when I try to explain the design law concept. People ask, but why did Jesus have to suffer and die? Can you please give me a concise one-sentence answer that penal substitutionists might understand? No, I can't. I can't give you a one-sentence answer because there is, I don't think there is one. I went to our web. So let's back up a little bit. For those wanting to submit questions, I will encourage you to go to our website. In the search box, type that question in. The chances are 80% that Tim's already written a blog on it. I went to our website and typed in, why did Jesus have to die? And turns out there's a blog entitled, why did Jesus have to die? From 2009. So I link that to your to the answer. But to whoever asked this question, you're going to have to exercise your understanding and your presentation abilities in order to strengthen them. No one else can do this for you. Scripture gives a number of reasons why Christ had to die. He had to die to defeat death. He had to die to defeat him who holds the power of death, which is the devil. And he had to die to destroy the devil's work. A succinct answer is his life and death revealed the Father. He came to reveal the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. Numerous places. The entire book of John is a revelation of Christ in revealing the Father. But simply revealing Father wasn't enough. Adam and Eve had corrupted humanity, and we now have a sinful nature. So Christ had to come and work out in his humanity a remedy for that sinful nature, which is now offered to us after his resurrection, is being offered to us and made effectual by the Holy Spirit. So I would suggest go to that blog I linked in the notes and the answer. And work this out for yourself. If you're trying to convince those with a penal substitution mindset, you may simply be talking to a wall. Because if they have a different idea about how God's law functions, then your answer may fall on deaf ears. So I would submit that you're going to have to unpack some things about this person or person's law construct before you're going to be able to reach an understanding about why Christ had to die. Next question. Why doesn't the rest of Christendom use the Catholic sign of the cross? I don't know. I don't know why Catholics do it. I did a simple internet search and was given some reasons, and I would encourage you to do the same thing, but I don't know. That was easy. Off topic. And I'm not making light of the question, and I'm not, don't be insulted by this, but I really don't know. I define a good question as one I know the answer to. That was not a good question. I'm joking. Off topic, but what does being, quote, equally yoked in courtship leading to marriage actually mean through a design law lens or from what God originally intended for us? As an SDA, I'm confused as to how much agreement in beliefs, for example, sleep of the dead, the Sabbath, how much those should play into our decision. Should we be more focused on fruit and character of the other person through design law? Is marrying outside of the Seventh-day Adventist Church truly frowned on for our protection, or is it just a made-up and imposed rule? So this is a loaded question. I typed in yoked to the search engine and came up with a blog, and I included it in the answer. So whoever asked this question, download the answers and go to that blog. It's called Unity versus Division. However, back to your question. Unfortunately, marrying within the Seventh-day Adventist denomination does nothing to guarantee success. Our divorce rates, addiction rates, spousal child abuse rates, pornography use is little different than the rest of mainstream Christianity. In fact, I've seen numbers that suggest our divorce rates are higher, near, knocking on 60%. So there's no guarantee for success. And the rest of mainstream Christianity, there's no difference between Christianity and the non-religious with those issues. I get our magazine, The Lie, and it unpacks why there's little difference. Because Christianity is believe the lie that God's law functions no different than human laws. So, understand that I'm nearly 60 years old and have never been married for a variety of reasons. So take this with a bucket full of salt. But I would recommend focusing on character issues. And history has shown I'm not a good judge of character. None of us can read hearts and minds, but I'm apparently worse than average. And how well do they naturally conform to the design laws? And I would submit that especially the law of liberty. Do they leave you free? Does your spouse or your intended spouse or the person you're dating leave you free to be yourself? And do they love you as you are? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Should be the top of everyone's list of someone who's dating. Does this person love me for who I am? A work in progress, someone who is in the process of having their character transformed by Christ, or someone who's unwilling to be transformed by Christ. Good luck with that, whoever wrote that question. Next question. Pastors usually teach that God does not hear the prayers of those who are not saved, and that only the saved can pray to Jesus, and that he relays those prayers to God the Father. And they reference Romans 8:34. Yet Dr. Jennings mentioned in a video that faith healers who don't believe in God can pray for other people and even animals, and their prayers are working for healing to take place. Where are pastors going wrong in their understanding of prayer, and how does this change the way we understand Jesus making intercession? So this is a loaded question. The pastors teach a lot of things about God that are not true. Okay, and the idea that God doesn't hear the prayers of those who are not saved, I think, is not true. So if your pastor's teaching that, choose wisely. The point here is do not surrender your God-given independent thinking to an authority figure. Not your pastor, not Tim, not me, the Pope, Dr. Fauci, no one. Think for yourselves. Now, I can't speak for every pastor, but many believe that Jesus is making intercession with his Father to get him to be forgiving, less angry, more merciful, etc., instead of what's actually occurring. The entire Godhead and the entire host of heaven are interceding with humanity. We're the ones that need the intercession, yes. Not God. Well, I don't think the person that wrote the question believes it. They're hearing it from the pulpit.
Yeah,
that's why they asked the question. What year did Dr. Jennings discover the integrated evidence-based approach to interpreting Scripture, and what year did he start publicly teaching the design law view of the Bible? It's a good question. I think it was around 2009, 10, 11, somewhere in that area, but Tim may have a different answer. And you know, Tim, if you want to correct me next week, feel free. If you look through Scripture, though, the integrated evidence approach is in Scripture.
Yeah, that's something from the beginning.
It's written in the Bible. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and discipline. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's our experience. Romans 1:20. All God's divine qualities can be seen through what's been made, so the men are without excuse. This is revelation through nature and science and creation. So it's... And there's a thread throughout Ellen White's writings as well, yeah, that this is the way to discern truth.
So it didn't really start any certain...
We didn't start it. We identified it, and we brought out that Venn diagram. But I think it was 2009, 10, 11, somewhere about the genesis of our ministry officially. Next question. Why did Jesus tell Mary not to touch him as he had not yet gone to the Father? What needed to happen? Please explain. So the short answer, again, is I don't know. My suspicion, and it's only a suspicion, if anyone has any other insights, I'll be happy to hear them, is that Jesus respected or restricted Mary from touching him as he did not want her to be ritualistically unclean. There were still Levitical laws that were in place. See Leviticus 21:11 and Numbers 19 verses 11 to 13 regarding handling bodies that had been dead. And even though the ceremonial law was done away with 48 hours before at his death on the cross, I don't think Mary understood that. So he was trying to protect Mary from being ritualistically unclean. If there are other reasons, I'm open to hear them. Other theories? So as far as I have not yet gone to my Father, I think that's fairly self-evident. I don't think he'd been to see his Father. I think there was some heavenly ceremony that needed to happen before Christ would come back and appear to the disciples and the followers. So, any thoughts from the group? Okay. So, regarding the issue of buying or selling in the end times, most think of a financial transaction to purchase material items. The more I read it, it keeps coming to me that buying or selling may involve things that are not tangible. Like when the Lord says, come and buy from me gold that has been refined in the fire, or the parable of the pearl of the great price, and the parables in Matthew 13, other various stories involving treasure and selling or giving up. What you have to buy, that which is precious and eternal. Any thoughts? So I like your insights in this question, and I agree. I think it's probably going to be both. I think there will be human restrictions placed on actual buying and selling of commodities, whether it be food, clothing, shelter, transportation, fuel, whatever. I think there'll be restrictions placed on there via a social credit system, which is already in place in China. So China has a system where if you behave according to the government, you can buy more things, you can do more things, you have greater access to venues and things. I think that's coming to America. They can be restricted through central bank digital currencies. Most first world nations are in the process of developing a central bank digital currency where literal cash will be thing of the past. I think these restrictions will happen via vaccine passports, which has already happened 4 or 5 years ago. If you didn't have a In some nations, if you didn't have a passport, you couldn't get into grocery stores, you couldn't get into concerts, you couldn't get into public areas. You had to show a passport to show that you'd put an experimental genetic modifying agent in your body. It could happen via hyperinflation. See the reference to Weimar Republic, Germany, in the early 1920s. They had such hyperinflation that you had to use a wheelbarrow of cash to buy a loaf of bread. It cost 2 billion Deutschmarks to buy a loaf of bread through hyperinflation. And I'm sure there are many restrictions that of buying and selling that I haven't even thought of. In addition, expanding this to the buying that you're talking about, as the Holy Spirit is withdrawn, those who've delayed their preparation, see the parable of 10 virgins, they may find themselves searching for comfort and grace and love and come up empty. So, all right, last question. Peace and blessings. When did Moses write the book of Genesis and the book of Job? Was it before the Exodus or after? If it was before, why didn't he have the issue at the burning bush? So I don't know the exact dates. I think it's reasonable to conclude that Job and Genesis were written before Exodus, since the Exodus hadn't happened yet. I think Moses wrote the Exodus in real time, as it was happening. I suspect he wrote Job and Genesis during his 40 years with tending the sheep with his father-in-law, after he left Egypt, having murdered the overseer and escaped to the wilderness. I think he wrote Job and Genesis during that time. I'm open to be corrected. And I suspect he wrote Exodus as the Exodus was happening. Now, I'm not sure what your question is about the burning bush. I'm not sure what issue you're talking about. So if you'll resubmit that question, we can answer it in a future question and answer session. All right. There you go. Have a happy Sabbath. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.